Amen.
Yeah. Again, not. Is it possible that it only sort of becomes available at 8:30 or something?
Maybe it's possible, yeah.
But sometimes you say it does work.
Yeah. Most of the time it works.
Okay, the Chofetz Chaim, we discussed, we mentioned it more than once, that sometimes a person, when he's telling over something, even if he's saying it better, but he adds in information of his own. He makes comments about the person.
Embroidery.
It's embroidery, but it's personal assessments of the person who did it. So I saw a meeting in what's called, but he is the type of person who comes from a sour background, or he doesn't have any control over himself, or etc. So he says, in this segment, he says, the Chofetz Chaim discusses assessments which people make about, they make comments about other people, and they're sometimes judgments, and they can have far-reaching consequences. He says, for instance, he says, some people think that to describe characteristics of people which are not complimentary. I mean, if you say, for instance, he's got red hair, well, is that, it's not something he did, it's not something that's wrong with him, yeah, but it might affect, some people might not want a shidduch with a redhead, yeah. What about if he says somebody is short, yeah, he's short, and we're talking about shidduchim, so it's not a criticism of the person saying that he did something wrong. It's saying this is what he is. On the other hand, there are sometimes people who don't want to deal with people like that. I only want somebody tall. But maybe if they'd meet, they might fall in love with each other. Who knows? Yeah. Then comes the question, and this is really what the Chofetz Chaim is leading to, is what about he's not too bright? He's not intelligent. He's got a low IQ. Now again, that's not something, it's not like he decided, I'm going to be stupid. It's not like he sort of changed his IQ level. He was born like that. So some people would say, that's how he is. I'm only describing what he is. It's, if you've got any complaints, go to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But I'm only describing what he is. But on the other hand, he says in particular in business and in many other situations, people like to deal with intelligent people. And if you tell somebody that he's not intelligent, I have this dilemma regularly with Dudi when we're speaking about speakers. Dudi needs to know after a speaker spoke whether or not we should invite him to speak again. So there is a toyeles, if you like, in telling the truth about how the person spoke. But you tend to, I remember specifically, I'm making Moido Meswada here, for instance. I'm not even going to say, I don't want you to identify who it was. But not so long ago, we had a speaker here. The speaker spoke. He was very cute. He spoke very nicely. It was nothing special. And he is a Rosh HaKoilel. And when Dudi asked me whether or not I should simply say to him, ask him again or don't ask him again. But I remember I said to him something like, he's very cute, yeah, but he doesn't come over as too bright. Yeah, and I can imagine that he's a choshev Rosh HaKoilel, he set up the koilel, he goes around the world collecting funds for the koilel, he supports the koilel, but there's probably quite a few people in his koilel who can learn better than he can.
The question was he appropriate to turn away?
I shouldn't have said anything. Why am I telling him, my assessment, he's very cute, but I don't think he's a big Talmud Chacham. And how can I tell whether or not he's a big Talmud Chacham just because I heard a half an hour Torah way drosha? And you tend to do that. You tend to sort of, you're speaking, and whilst you're speaking, you add in information about the person. He says, a statement which is derogatory, even though it's true, is Lashon Hara. And there's no exception by saying, well, that's how he is. He didn't make himself, so I'm not criticizing him, sir. I'm not criticizing him. Okay, so he says, So he says, the truth is that Hashem has given everybody the koichos that he needs in order to make his way in the world. So therefore you would say, if you've got any complaints, go to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam made him short. The Ribbono Shel Olam made him thick. The Rabbi Yishlam made him ugly. Yeah, it's not my problem. I'm only describing what he is. I'm not saying that he's done anything wrong. Nevertheless, says the Chofetz Chaim, anything that you say which will lower his esteem in the eyes of other people, people will want, for some reason or another, whether it's a shidduch or whether it's a business deal with him, then that has effect. That has an adverse effect. It might affect his chances of getting married. It might affect his chances of doing business with somebody. And therefore, even though it's true, and even though it's not his fault that he is as he is, nevertheless, it is Lashon Hara. Carry on tomorrow. What about Lashon Hara in those situations, like I spoke to you just now about Rosh Kodel, about Rabbonim, Poiskim, teachers?
You shouldn't say it.
Tomorrow,
Start today, the Turaway, Northwest London, Tuesday, 15th of Kislev, 28th of November.
Right. Good morning, everyone. Apparently, it says
it's sponsored by Family David Levy, Lifford, Simpson, Oh, Shimon Levy, and Kenny Spangler, Custom took place on Sunday.
Good morning, everyone. Apparently it says part one. So I guess that's still part of the Ness of Hanukkah. You can use one flask and it can last...
No, it was so good we want to hear it again.
Ah, again, okay. So at the end, Blinade at the end, if we have time, I have one more thing to add. Relevant to this week's Sedra. I did say it many years ago, but I don't know if the Olam remember. Don't remember? That's right, Chazara, exactly. Okay, so, Bez Hashem, part two. The Gemara says, Masechah Shabbos, Chof Alav Amar Beis, it goes through the order of the Hidurim of Chanukah. The Hidurim. The Gemara says, Mitzvah's Chanukah, the Ikka Mitzvah, is Ner Ish Ubeisoi. Every person, there's one house, there's a family there, just one light every day by one member of the family. And that putters the house. That's the Ikar Din. It's so Ikar Din that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring it. Which is very schwer because there's various nafkaminas, but that's another whole discussion. Then the Gemara goes on and says, V'amahadrin, someone wants to do a bit better, a bit more of a nicer mitzvah, Ner l'chol echod ve'echod. Everyone in the family lights, but just one ner. One ner. Don't go up. So instead of one person lighting one every night, everyone in the family lights one every night. The mahadrim in a mahadrin, and someone that wants to do even better, like really beautiful, then it's a machloikus. Beis Shammai says on day one you light eight and you go down. And Beis Hillel says on day one you light one and you go up to eight. Now, the question that we have at this point is, who does this Mahadrim in a Mahadrim? You're going up every day. Is it going on the last Chumrah? We said, the first din is only the father of the house lights one. Second din is everyone lights one. Third din is, it goes up according to the number, let's say, of the days of Chanukah, let's say. But who does this? Is it everyone in the family? Or is it only the father? So, before looking at Rishonim, yeah?
Don't you have the same sophic in there, l'chol echod ve'echod? Whether it means that everybody's lighting, or one person is lighting a ner, l'chol echod
ve'echod. No, that I didn't discuss yet. That I hear. Who's doing it for them? I haven't gone to that detail yet. And what my discussion is it you got the father of the house, he lights one for the whole house. Then you've got one for everyone in the house. Who lights that? I'm not going to yet. Mm-hmm. And then when we go up and show the number of the Ness, is it now just the father doing that for himself? Just one set of eight candles? Or is everyone doing that? Now, simply speaking, the way it sounds in the Gemara is everyone's doing that. Because it starts off just the father lights one candle, then it goes on to everyone lights one candle, and then it says you can make it better by showing the amount of days we're up to of the Ness. So why shouldn't everyone do that? If there's a hiddur that everyone should light one every day, then there should be a hiddur that everyone shows the Ness every day. That's the logic. However, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Beis, Kamo Neiros Madlik, how many lights do you light? Says on the first night, one. From then on, you go up every day. As we mentioned, he doesn't say every day you can light one. He says you go up every day. Until on the last night, you will have eight, whether you're one person alone at home or you're lots of people at home. All you're left with is eight. So it's clear from the Shulchan Aruch that only one person is going up every night. And the question is why? Says Tosfos, a very, very, very logical argument. Specifically, back in the day, where did we light? By the door, outside, for the passerby to recognize the neiros. If you're going to have loads of different menorahs there, no one's going to know what's going on. Is it day eight? Is there 80 people living in the house and you've got 80 candles? Or is it day eight and it's 10 people lighting their menorah, etc.? It's going to be very unclear. So if you're anyway not showing the numerical value, right? So then, Enochanami, lots of people can light one. But if you want to show the numerical value, it's got to be one menorah. And therefore, says Tosfos, the correct custom should be only the Baal HaBayis lights the menorah that's going up every day. And that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, we know that that's not what we do, most of us. Most of us, in the room at least, is not what we do. Minhag Ashkenaz is like the Ramah. The Ramah says, V'yashoyrim, they call echel mibnei habayis yadlik, everyone in the house lights. And they go up every day. And that's the psak. However, he wants to be yotze Tosfos. So he says everyone should put their menorahs in different places. That way it's clear. This is a menorah of eight, and that's a menorah of eight. And we can do that nowadays, because our main adlocker now is inside. It's not by the door when you have to get it within a certain place in the door. It's inside. So one can do it by one window, one can make it a different height. You can do it in a way, we've got enough space to play with. In halacha, really, you don't even mamash need to do it by the window. It's a minor to do it by the window, but you could do it in the house. Sorry? Yeah, you can do it in all different rooms in the house, but etzem. Yeah? So therefore, the Ramah's not too bothered, and he says everyone in the house should do this lighting. And what's his source? So here's where it gets very interesting, and a little bit touches on what you mentioned. The Rambam says in Hilchos Chanukah, Perik Dalad Alocha Aleph, he says, how many lights do you light? And he goes through what we saw in the Gemara. Either one per household, or one for everyone in the household, or going up every day according to the numbers of the family. Clearly like Ashkenaz. Clearly like Ashkenaz. But he says, what can I do? The minhag in Spain is not like me. And all the light is one menorah going up. Says the Taz, before we go into the detail of the Rambam, says the Taz, here you have a very strange thing. And that is that normally Ashkenazim paskin like the Ashkenazi poiskim, and Sfardim paskin like the Sfardi poiskim. When it comes to Chanukah, it's a switchover. We, the Ashkenazim paskin like the Rambam, that you go up, every menorah in the house goes up according to the members of the family, and the Sfardim paskin like the Tosfos, that no, only one member of the household goes up with his menorah. And he says, "V'zeloi motzinu b'shar makoymus." We don't find that normally, that the Ashkenazim follow the Sfardi tradition and the Sfardim follow the Ashkenazi tradition. However, there is one slight difference between us and the Rambam. The Rambam says that yes, let's say there's 10 people in the house, so there'll be 10 menorahs of 8. There'll be 80 candles alight. However, he says it's not that each member of the house lights that menorah. Only the father of the house does the lighting, but he lights menorahs according to the number of people in the house. It's not what we do. So I'll share with you why in a minute. But first, let's go to some nice nafka minas, and then we'll come back to what may be an answer as to why we don't follow the Rambam totally. There's the following shaila. The Shaila Tshuva brings a shaila in Siman Tov Reish Ayin Aleph, Sivkot and Gimel. The Knesset Yecheskel was Rabbi Cheskel Katzen Elboygen, who was the Rav of the Gimel Kehillas before Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. He says, the Minhag Sfaradim is only the Balabais goes up every day. Only the Balabais. So he says, what happens if an Ashkenazi is living by a Sfaradi over Chanukah? You can have son-in-laws and all sorts of cases. Not so complicated. Okay, so you have Ashkenazi living in a house of a Sfaradi. And what's the custom in the Sfaradi house? Only the Balabais lights. Ashkenazi says, hang on. I want a light. He says, no. Here, only the Balabais lights. Not the Minhag. This is stage one in the Shaila. Can the Ashkenazi hold his ground and say, I have a different Minhag, I'd like to light. What's that Shaila? Loitz going to do. Different minhagim coming into one place, like tefillin and chol hamoed in the shuls. So today we're one big mixture. So it's almost not loitz going to do. We understand that we're five different kehillas just davening in one shul. So therefore, nowadays, people aren't so makbid on the loitz going to do of tefillin. But Ashkenazi house is Ashkenazi house. Sfaradi house. That's still a bit defined. In my house, we light only one. I don't let. Says Knesset Yecheskel, no, he's allowed to light. The Ashkenazi allowed to light. It's not loitz going to do. Okay, I don't want to go into that topic. It's not my question of the day. The question of the day is, okay, it's not loitz going to do. Obelachayra, you're causing the Sfaradi a brochel of atola. If you light first, let's say, you light first, and it's very likely that Ashkenaz will light first, because the Sfaradim Paskin, that the Zman of Adlokas Neiris of Chanukah is Nacht. And Ashkenazim, if you're a Gronik or whatever, you do it earlier. Yeah, a bit before Nacht, 15 minutes, whatever it is, the Zmanim. Therefore you come, you saw the Knesset Yecheskel says, there's no Loitz going to do. So you tell the Chveis, your Sfaradi father-in-law, you say, Sliha, I'm lighting earlier than you, because I hold this man, okay, no loitz is going to do, and you light. He comes home, and he doesn't know what to do now, the Sfaradi father-in-law, because he wants to light. But the minhag of the Sfaradim, based on Tosfos, that it won't be recognizable, the Ness, if there's more than one menorah in the house, is you don't light more. So now, if he lights, he's going against the takona, be'etzem, and it could be he's not even allowed to make a bracha. If he makes a bracha, it could be a bracha of atola. So what should he do? Says Rabbi Kivi Yosef Schlesinger in his Shailas HaTshuvas Svarim, Chelik Aleph Simon Reish Tesvov, that therefore you should get the Sfaradi to light first. So that at that point of time, there was no other menorah in the house, he could make the brocha. Now you want to be an action and you want to light, because your minhag is azoi, okay, go ahead and light. But when he lit it without a pickbook, he lit it, clearly making clear the Ness, it's 8 tonight, there's no other menorah there. That's how he paskins. He says the same is true the opposite way around. If a Sfaradi is staying in Ashkenazi house, and the Sfaradi wants to light, which is interesting already, because he could say, Balabais is lighting, and that's my minhag. And he could stop there. But he wants to do his menorah, so he should light first. He should ask Ashkenazi permission to light first, so that at the time when he lit his menorah, it was one menorah of 8, it was clear. There was no problem of Tosfos. That's what he says. I find it a bit hard to swallow. Because if you know that in this house, in 5 minutes' time, they're lighting another menorah, it's a house that doesn't fit with the takon of the Beis Yosef. It's a house that's going to have more than one menorah. How can you play games here? I mean, a similar shaila I've seen. Reb Shach once, he came home on Yom Tov, and his wife had baked 3 cakes. So he asked, you know, with 2 people, why 3 cakes? So 3 cupcakes, whatever it was. So she said that the doctor that she works by is coming by on Yom Tov, a kosher doctor. So I thought, well, you know, make him also a cake. So Shach said, you're not allowed. It says, Lochem, v'loy legoyim. You're not allowed to bake. So what did he do? He ate it. Right? And the question is, and actually logically I would think it works. The question is, she baked it for the goy. Can you undo that Issa by proving that it wasn't for the goy? And he's got a tshuva in Avi Ezri based on this story. Similar such shilas, I remember also hearing once a similar shilas. I don't remember the details, but basically, I think a Sefer Torah was borrowed somewhere, and it was Yom Tov, and they carried it back to the shul that they borrowed it from on Yom Tov. There was no Erev, or they didn't hold of the Erev, and they carried it back to this shul. And the question was, it wasn't Tzorech Yom Tov at all, this carrying back, because they don't use it. I don't remember all the details, but they don't use this Sefer Torah. Yeah, so therefore you carried it for, I don't know, the weekday, whatever it was. You didn't carry it for Yom Tov. So the shaila was, should they now use it? Use the Sefer Torah on Yom Tov, and therefore, even though it's 100% that they wouldn't have used it, so the malacha was done. But now, in retrospect, can you undo it? So that's undoing the Issa. But here, you did the mitzvah, but you know, in retrospect, that for a Sfadi house, this mitzvah isn't done right, because there's going to be more than one menorah here, and you knew that it was going to be like that. So can you make the bracha? I'll smach that. I don't know. He paskins yes. I'm just saying there's what to think about. Sorry, say again? Yeah, but again, according to what he's saying, he has the bracha of atola. If you light after someone's already in a Sfadi house, because you're only allowed to light one set of candles. More than that is an undefined number in the house. And that's the Psak of the Sfadim. Psak of the Sfadim. Only one person lights.
If you do it together, it's undefined. But if you did it earlier...
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But if it's within half an hour, and you know he's going to light. So just like in a Sfadi house, where they're all Sfadim, they won't light one and one and one, because they know that that's not allowed. They only allow one. It doesn't help to do a minute later. The Sfadi Psak is only one menorah. Shouldn't be undefined in any what way. So here... For him to light and say, oh, it's undefined while I lit, but I know you're about to light in a minute. It's playing a game. In the end of the day, in a Sfadi house, the psak is one menorah, one defined number. So to say, okay, I light now, and in 5 minutes you light, don't tell anyone. It's a Sfadi house, you know, it's an undefined number. If you didn't know he's going to light, I understand. I lit, but when I lit, there was only one menorah, 8 candles, I've done my job. You come and light now, you want actions of... Say that. But if I know, I'm just saying, hang on. Not so clear. But Lamaisi Paskin's like you. So.
Could you light without a brocha?
Yeah, that would be easier. Zechi easier.
Yeah. And then just hear the brocha from the other person afterwards.
Yeah. Okay, now we come to a shaila on our minig, a big shaila. On the Ashkenazi minig. And then we have to try and go back to the Rambam. So let's start with the Pre-Chodesh. The Pre-Chodesh asks the following shaila. Someone is on the 7th day of Chanukah. Sold him out the 7th day of Chanukah. How many candles he meant to light? 7. And by mistake, he thought it was the 6th day of Chanukah. Right? So he lit 6. He made the bracha. And he lit 6. And then someone comes and says, what's going on here? 6, why 6? Which, by the way, is a shaila b'chlal of yoyotza, right? It's a big shaila in the postgame. If you light 6 on day 7, meaning, if you light 1, you've done the ikadin. If you light 7, you've done the mahadrin. If you light 6, what is it? It's completely wrong, so maybe it's nothing. Or, you've shown still that there's 6 chalokim to a miracle of 7. Or, you've done malim b'kodesh v'loim reading at least. You haven't gone down. It's a whole raid, but it's not for now. You come in, you've lit in 6 on day 7. You come in 10 minutes later, and you say, hey, it's day 7, I need to light another one. So you get another candle, put it in, and you're about to light it. Should I make a brocha? Huh? You mean it's lit in already? The ik is 1. Okay, so this is the shaila. The shaila is, I've been yoitza with 1. Let's say we've been yoitza. I've been yoitza with 1. I made my brocha. This is a hiddle. Do you make a brocha on a hiddu? It's a big shaila. Because a normal hiddu, you're right, the hiddu of Chanukah is a huge shaila, but Mishnah Berurah Paskins, once again, like one of the members here, right? The Mishnah Berurah Paskins, the Pre-Chodosh, no. You do not make a brocha on a hiddu. It's just the beautification of the mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah. You don't make a brocha. You don't make a brocha. Comes along Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and he has a very similar shaila, which I'm not going into the kishkas of the shaila, I'll tell you his shaila. His shaila is slightly different. It was day, I think, 8, and you lit, and you didn't make a bracha at all. you pashut forgot to make the bracha. So you lit the first candle, which is your main mitzvah, you didn't make a bracha. You're carrying on lighting up to, let's say, candle 7. You say, oh, I didn't make a bracha. Do you make a bracha now? So here's a bit of an interesting one. It's a bracha on the hiddur, because you're up to candle 7. But you never made a bracha on your ikka mitzvah. Can you catch up somehow? Is it called still involved in the ikka mitzvah because you haven't yet put down your candle? Etc. Such shilas. Now then he says, yeah, this is the shayla. But he says, what is this whole discussion if we make a bracha on a hiddur or we don't make a bracha on a hiddur? The chayr, it's apparent from our minug that we make a bracha on a hiddur. What's our minug? The father lights, he makes his bracha, he lights 8 candles. Then the whole family goes around and takes a turn to light their menorah, which is mahadrin min a mahadrin, which is even a type of hiddur that by svadin doesn't exist. And yet, we all make a bracha on our menorah. It's a pele. It's a mamash a pele. Says Rav Kiva Eiger, don't bring a raya from here that you make a bracha on a hiddur. Don't bring. Why not? It's the best raya possible.
Different people, though.
Fakets. It's even shverer. It's even shverer. It's total hiddur.
If the balabos is lighting for everybody and it says 10 times the bracha,
then it would be a big question, yeah.
But here, each person's
so you're hitting the nail on the head. You have to define it. Because at the end of the day, is it a hiddur? If it is, then why taka, they're making a bracha, and faket, they're more detached from the mitzvah. So that even more they shouldn't be, it's not even a hiddur within the mitzvah, it's like total hiddur. The main mitzvah of the house was done when the father did it. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, no. You know what we're doing in our houses? Every member of the house is saying, I don't want to be yotze with you, I want to do my own mitzvah. You hear what's going on here? Every mahadrim and mahadrim in the Ashkenazi house is everyone being the father of the house. Basically saying, I didn't listen to what you did. I'm not a part of what you did. Now I'm doing it. Now every time I saw this Rav Vega for many, many years, I could not understand what he's saying. So why taka? Why do we make a bracha? Just be simple. Mahadrim and mahadrim. Everyone should light their menorah without a bracha because they're just an extra thing. They're not the mitzvah. Oh, so yeah, we want to be the mitzvah, so let's not listen to what the father of the house is saying. It's not what we're asked of. We're just asked to be a mahadrin.
Take away the mahadrin.
In a way, you don't take away, because now what happens, you become an ikar hadin. You're now lighting the first candle as the main person of the house, and then you're going up in your menorah. So you have 8 individuals in this house. There's no family, according to this. It's 8 people doing their own thing. But why? That's Rav Akiva Eiger. So the answer is, and this is touched on, the answer is as follows. The Rambam. The Rambam says that the father lights for everyone. Even if there's 8 menorahs, we don't light. The father lights for everyone. We don't do that. Everyone lights alone. Why? So the Achronim explain that you can't do a hiddur out of the mitzvah. A hiddur means a beautification of the mitzvah. A beautification of the mitzvah. You have an esrog, you make it nicer. Now, the father lit his menorah, so he can make it nicer by lighting another 7 candles. How can we do a hiddur, though? It's impossible to do mahadrim mahadrim on extra menorahs, because you can't beautify something that's not the mitzvah. You can only beautify the mitzvah. And if the only way, if we paskenite the Ashkenazim, that everyone in the house is going to beautify the mitzvah, the only way that's possible is if everyone is the only person in the house. Then his first candle is the mitzvah, and the rest of his candles are beautification of the mitzvah. Go on.
If the din of Ne'ish is baser, then it's a din in the shtib, and in the shtib is do ahidah, because you've got more menorahs.
Again.
No, because you're saying that it's due with his menorah and therefore the shach ahidah. If you're saying it is a din in the bias, then it's due ahidah.
Even if there's a din in the bias, it's still only one bias. So, l'chora, once one person is litten, the din is done. It's done.
Yeah, but there's a hiddah in
the hiddah is on. Yeah, but the hiddah is on top of the din to add more. Now, if the father with his one candle has been moitzi the bias, so the mitzvah's done. So only he can beautify the mitzvah. Everyone else is external of that first mitzvah. Right? They don't have the esrog to make it nicer. It's not posher. I'm just giving one gun. So that... Huh? No, because we have a kavona negdis. We all have a kavona negdis that we weren't yoitza. We're the only person here in this bias, and therefore we're the only person lighting that first candle, and therefore we can beautify it with more candles. That's Rekiva Eger's gang. I'm not saying it's not the only way, but that's the way he goes. So therefore, this answers why everyone can make a bracha on this hiddur, because they're actually doing the ikadin. They're not doing a hiddur. It also answers why we don't do like the Rambam, that the father lights for everyone. The Rambam held that way, because the only way that you could do a hiddur is in the mitzvah, and the father is the mitzvah, so therefore he lights, does the lighting for everyone. But we are mafkia ourselves from being part of the father, and therefore everyone has the mitzvah, and everyone can beautify the mitzvah. Now, the Gemara carries on and says, what is the reason, according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that we either do 8 candles on day one? According to Beis Shammai, you do 8 candles on day one and go down, or you do 1 candle on day one and you go up, according to Beis Hillel. Gemara gives 2 reasons. One is, Keneged Yomim HaYoitzim, Keneged Yomim Nechnosim. Are we counting the days going out? So on day one, 1 day is going out, so you light 1. Or the days coming in, 8 days are coming in, so you light 8, according to Beis Shammai. Or a different svara, Beis Shammai goes like Sukkos, the Purim go down, the bulls go down, so his candles go down from 8 and down. And according to Beis Hillel, Malim Bekoidesh Ve'emaridin, so you go up. The Gemara finishes off with a very strange statement. The Gemara says, Om Rabbi Yochanan, there were 2 elders in Tzidon. One did like Beis Shammai, one did like Beis Hillel. One gave his reason like Beis Shammai, that the Pori Achag went down, and one gave his reason like Beis Hillel, Malim Bekoidesh Ve'emaridin, and all the poskim jump over here, because the Rif brings this Gemara. Why are we bringing what these 2 elders did, and the fact that one did like Beis Shammai, Halach is not like Beis Shammai, and the reasoning behind it? They get very busy. Mishnah Berurah comes up with a tremendous Chiddush, which is what we're talking today is all about Hiddur. So I think this Chiddush is very, very connected to what we're speaking about. He comes up with a tremendous Chiddush. He says, I'm scared to say this Chiddush, because no one says it, although we have found someone that says it, the Bnei Soscha says it. No one said it, and therefore it's not halacha l'maisa. But he suggests it, and it would change a Hanukkah very much if we were to follow this Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? He says that is. Who's speaking here? Rabbi Yochanan. In the days of Rabbi Yochanan, who's the halacha like? Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel? Rabbi Yochanan. Beis Hillel. So why is Rabbi Yochanan bringing a story with 2 elders? One did like Beis Shammai, and one did like Beis Hillel. And the Rif is a halacha sefer, and he brings the story in its entirety, with even the opinion that did like Beis Shammai going from 8 down. Doesn't make sense. Once the halacha is like Beis Hillel, the Rif should not be bringing the elder that said you go from 8 down. You just bring Beis Hillel, you go up. Okay, you can bring nafka minas of what reason in Beis Hillel? There are nafka minas. But why are you bringing Beis Shammai? Says the Mishnah Berurah. Because this isn't the halacha. This is Hiddur. 8 or 1 and going up. Once you pass the 1 candle, you're in Hiddur. So who said you have to do like Beis Hillel? The thing that we follow Beis Hillel is in halacha. This is all Hiddurim. So if you want, and you want to do a shtick this year, don't do it. Yeah, because the Mishnah Berurah says not to. But if you want to do a shtick this year, says the Mishnah Berurah, you can start on day 1 with 8 candles. Someone said, we pass it out, Beis Hillel. Maskim, but this isn't halacha, this is hidurim. It's not halacha, it's a hiddur. It's a hiddur, it's a beautification of the mitzvah, it's not halacha. And only halacha, the psak, like Beis Hillel, is in halacha, not in hidurim. That's what he suggests. He says, I'm scared to say it. I'd just like to finish that we had the question of the Beis Yosef last week, and that was that why was there 8 days of Chanukah, Lechoira? The first day wasn't a nes. So one of our answers, because they had the shemen, so one of our answers was that they took the cup of oil, they poured it into the menorah, right? They looked back at the cup and it was full. So the miracle happened on day 1. Because on day 1, the cup was full. So we asked you, just change the question from day 1 to day 8. Because on day 8, they poured it in the menorah, and surely the cup wasn't full because they didn't need the nes for the next day. So I have an answer that in this week's Sedra, it says Yaakov Avinu went to get the pachim ketanim. He went to go back over the river to get his jug. And state in Kadmoinim that the Pachim Ketanim was the oil of the Nes of Chanukah, the oil of the Tzarfatis as well, when she had to pour into all her vessels oil. So that's why Yaakov was Moisa Nefesh to go back, says the Shachar HaTorah, the Shlo about it. So the answer is Azoi. Normally, Taka, on day 8, you're finished with the Nes, you pour it into the menorah, you look back, it's gone. There's no reason for it to refill. That's all if it's one flask that was mamash a Nes, because there had to be a Nes. Oh, but if it's a special Pachim Ketanim that always refills to do Nisim for Klal Yisrael, because it's always up to the next Nes of oil that Klal Yisrael need, right? Did a few jobs, right? So Bezoi, after, on the 8th day when they poured into the menorah, do you think the vessel didn't refill? Of course it refilled, because it's a special Pachim Ketanim that has to always be filled for the next Nes. So Bezoi, there was an apparent Nes on day 1 and on day 8.
Rabbo.